Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, June 30th, 2022, and today we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter Bill's Story. You'll find us on page 12, reading paragraph 4 today that begins with, "It was only a matter of being willing," and ends with, "Would I have it? Of course I would." Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Terry H., the 12 Traditions, Carla C. Readers today and support is Sherry Z., Robin P., and Stephanie L. Greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information at the end of the meeting will be Leah S., and giving announcements just right after Leah, Eileen M. The share ID numbers for yesterday's meeting, that would be Wednesday, June 29th. 2022, that number is 19121, 19,121. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study Group, their share ID number is 19123, 19,123, and that would be for Thursday, June 30th, 2022. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry H. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you, Melanie, for all the service that you do. My name is Terry H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to be of service today. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very, very much, Terry H. from Florida. I will now ask Carla C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everyone. This is Carla C., and I'm in California, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminded us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. This is Carla in California.
Thank you very much, Carla C. from California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know and press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And again, a gentle reminder, please only use the star 1 key function for muting your line. This helps disengage it more completely. Today we resume our study of the Big Book in Bill's story. You're going to find us on page 12, taking apart paragraph 4 today, and it begins with, "It was only a matter of being willing," and ends with, "Would I have it? Of course I would." And I'd like to ask Sherry Z to read that powerful paragraph today and share with us her experience and application with that, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the fellowship to comment. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in California. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. So I just want to start by saying that what Melanie shared also, which is that the minute you see in the Big Book, something italicized, that the authors had to pay more money in order to have it italicized because they wanted to emphasize it. So it was only a matter of being willing. So this sentence in A Power Greater Myself is, it's only a matter of, it's not saying I believe, it's not saying I have total faith, it's not saying it's going to happen for me. It is going from that state of hopelessness to a state of hope. right? And it's literally, as Melanie said earlier, it's a toe in the water. Like, it's not, I believe that I turn my will and my life over. Like, this is, my sponsor told me this is when Bill takes step two. But step two is not just, you know, I believe in everything and I swallow it at hook, line, and sinker and everything makes sense. This is actually much, much, much smaller than that. This is, I put my toe in the water because I'm willing to go to hope. I'm willing to believe that I could be one of them, that I could be someone who could recover, and that is just a teeny, teeny, teeny little bit of willingness. And my own experience is, I say to God in the morning, when I pray in the morning, I'm powerless and I'm willing. Like, just, I'm willing. I could feel it in my body. There's a surrender that happens that, you know, I'm not in control and that I can be a part of the people that would have it. And I love at the end, Bill's like a little bit like, he's a stockbroker. He's a high risk taker. You know, he has money, doesn't have money. I love what he says at the end. Of course I would. And there's something about that. Why not me? And I used to think before I was recovered that I was uniquely different, right? It wouldn't happen to me. But Bill says, why not me? Why not me that I should go from a state of hopelessness to a state of success if I just literally put a pinky in the water? So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to everybody who does this work. So grateful to be recovered, that part of people that are just willing to believe that they can live differently. And as a result, God gives them and me
it's time.
Willingness. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sherry Z, for getting us started this morning. It is now a time and opportunity for others to comment on that paragraph. Paragraph 4, page 12 in Bill's story is what we're studying today. If you're interested in commenting on that, I'd like to get some information from you to make a lineup here of folks to share. Although we do value your experience, I would just ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. We do have a very, very, very large group, thank God, here in this meeting. So if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state,
Dabble.
I'll take a lineup. Hi, Davelin.
Mm-hmm. Wendy B.
Wendy B, hi. Davelin and Wendy, anyone else?
Helen C.
Helen, hi. Okay, let's go with that lineup. Keep those moments very preciously held. Davelin E, you're first. Wendy B, and then Helen C. Good morning, Davelin.
Good morning, everyone. This is Davelin E. from Manitoba, Canada. And this reading this morning spoke to me in a slightly different way. I've been willing to believe that part was easy once I took it, but I'm at a challenging place in my life where I am carrying a lifetime of resentments against someone I love dearly. And I have not been willing to reveal all of myself. I did not realize there was another layer. And of course, this is a lifetime journey. There'll always be other layers. But I thought I'd gotten down into the real black dirt, but I'm way down in the slime now. And I'm thinking about God and my willingness to believe in God. I had come up against, can I trust God to truly love me if I really admit to God all the things I have done that have hurt other people, all the things that I've done to be imperfect. And I've come up against my denial of my human imperfection and come up against that lack of trust. If I really admit to this, how could God possibly love me? So it's, and of course I'm now, okay, on faith, I believe that you love me. Otherwise, you wouldn't have given me this opportunity to dig deeper. And so I'm coming from faith and hope to trust and feeling so much better about it. It's so much easier in the long run to trust and open up than it is to hide and have secrets. And with that, thank you for listening. Thank you, everyone, for their service, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Davilyn E. from Canada. Wendy B., Arizona, you're up next, and then Helen will follow you. Then we're going to open it up, folks, for others to comment on that paragraph, paragraph 4, page 12 of the big book. Hey, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, the sentence where I'm not willing to believe. And to me, I like to use the phrase, you know, I'm choosing to believe. You know, I'm making a choice to have faith instead of doubt. And, you know, I'm making a conscious choice to set aside my unbelief, you know, and trust God, you know, trust what he says in his word. You know, he says he's the creator of all things, and, you know, he holds all things together. And I choose to believe that. You know, he says he knows me inside and out and knows every hair on my head, and he knit me together in my mother's womb. And he says he loves me unconditionally, you know, and I don't need to try to live up to unrealistic, you know, expectations of others to please him, that I am his precious child and he delights in me. And, you know, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and he wants to guide my steps. And I'm experiencing that, you know, I'm trusting that the voice I hear in my heart is God's voice, you know, and the nudges I feel to do the next right thing are his spirit guiding me, you know. And he says he will never leave me, you know, that even, you know, when I can't sense his presence, I can trust that he's there, you know, and he's working. And, you know, he's working all things for my good, you know, and I can trust that his plans, you know, the way my circumstances present themselves is better than my plans, you know, and my attempts to arrange things, you know, to suit myself. And I'm just so grateful for program and for the big book and for, you know, presenting, you know, how to rely on God in a way that I could grasp, you know. And now, you know, my feet are on new soil. You know, I'm planted in, and I'm, you know, attached to the vine, and I can live in his presence and let his spirit flow through me. And I'm just so grateful for this experience. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. And I just wanted to offer here that for those that are listening, maybe those that are new, that we don't endorse any particular kind of religion or scriptural kinds of reading or references to any particular kind of literature or material. This is a concept that you get to choose of your very, very own and call it your own. Anyone that shares is only sharing about one that they've adopted for themselves. It's not the God universal or one that any one of us here in this room endorses in any way, shape, or form. So I want to make sure that there is no offense to anyone or anything that people share about in here. And just be really good and really clear about making sure that you identify it as your own higher power so that we understand that we're not endorsing anything. It's part of the traditions of a 12-step group. And so next up is Helen C. for 3 minutes, and then we will continue to open it up for others to share. Hi, Helen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Helen C., compulsive overeater in California. And I first want to say thank you to the moderator for clarifying those boundaries so we can all feel safe in our relationship with our higher power. I really appreciate that. I wasn't able to hear the reading this morning, but I hear what people are talking about and that their relationship with their higher power. And I can certainly attest to that, particularly since I started coming to these meetings, which, by the way, I know my higher power led me to these particular meetings. I'm working the steps with a sponsor. I'm finishing up step 3. And it's different, and it's different. And I've heard so many people say in this meeting that it's different than when they were in OA. And I don't want to disparage anyone's recovery in OA because I went to those meetings for years and there are plenty of people in there that have strong, strong recovery and that have had the spiritual awakening that we're all seeking to transform us in our disease. And I just, but my experience has been a beautiful one. And I got diagnosed with COVID yesterday. I knew I was exposed to someone, and so it wasn't a surprise. But here's what I want to say is that I'm a compulsive overeater, and my compulsion was removed when I started coming to these meetings like 6 weeks ago to binge and purge. But when I am sick, I comfort myself with food. And that's what I've always done since I was a little girl. I remember my mom giving me crackers and 7-Up when I was nauseous, you know. And so I am afraid right now because that compulsion was there yesterday to just comfort myself with food. And I didn't pick up any of my red light foods. But I know that if I say this on a group level, that it does lessen the power of it. And obviously I go to my higher power with this, and it'll be constant today to help me make the choices that are good for my body and that don't activate this deadly disease within me, because I've got a deadly virus. So who wants two diseases going on at the same time? And I'm just so grateful to be connected to this meeting and for my sponsor, who is loving and kind and is taking me through these steps. And it's a different way. I'm feeling the steps. I'm having a deeper relationship with my step work. A lot of it is because of the readings, the step study guide and stuff like that. And thank you for letting me share.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Helen C. from California, I think. I think. Appreciate your share. So I'm going to open up the lines again for additional comments on paragraph 4, page 12 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it begins with, it was only a matter of being willing to believe. And they talk about a power greater than ourselves that's universal to anyone and anybody, and ends with, would I have it? Of course I would. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, I'll take another lineup.
Hi,
Joanne D.,
Texas.
I hear Joanne,
Marietta,
Texas.
Please.
Marietta.
Sivia,
Aaliyah.
Fiji.
Susie, what did I hear?
Sivia.
Okay, great, thank
Fiji.
You.
Fiji.
Donna W.
Okay, thanks. Donna W.
Aaliyah S.
Aaliyah. Okay. We got it. Looks like Joanne, Texas, Marietta P, Sivia VG, Donna W, and Aaliyah S. You're up, Joanna. 3 minutes.
Thank you, Melanie. My name's Joanne B, recovered in Texas. I hope the wind noise isn't real bad.
A little bit.
Kind of
walk.
Hold on a second.
Your phone there, just a little bit. A little bit, yeah.
Okay. How about that? Is that a little better?
Oh, it has improved. Thank you for the adjustment.
Okay. I'm Joanne D., and I'm very grateful to hear familiar voices. This disease is, for me, this disease of the mind at this moment is very baffling, because I'm going through a period of time that it's almost like I'm a teenager with my fingers in my ears. I don't want to listen. And which is a good thing, because it means I'm no longer 5. So that's good. But I'm in this like resistance, rebellious or defiant stage. It's really quite funny watching at the same time as being troubling. So it was good to hear someone else comment this morning already the struggle that she's having. And I'm so grateful that another person commented about that our step 2 is very small action, or just coming to believe, putting that toe in the water. And it is very strange to me. I've had a faith my whole life, and all of a sudden I'm questioning my faith, or I'm questioning, I don't really know what's going on. I just keep doing what I'm supposed to do, keep working, keep loving others. And that's all I know to do. But I wanted to just say hello, because this disease also isolates me, tells me I don't need you. And, you know, it's just a lie. I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for every single day that you just keep coming back and you keep speaking and sharing and serving and however you do that. And I want to thank you and just say I'm here so that I know I'm here. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. I love all of you. Thank you so much. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. Next up is Marietta P. Sylvia, you'll follow Marietta in 3 minutes.
Hi, Marietta P., recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. And it says, well, first of all, I just want to call, you know, to my attention is that this is all in italics, so it's a very important part of the book itself. It's, you know, it's a matter of my being willing, you know, and how that came to be with my willingness with, you know, was to go follow through with the steps, being guided through by a recovered person. You know, my willingness is just the beginning, just as my abstinence is just the beginning, that there is more to the recovery, to the growth. You know, and of course I'd have it. You know, of course I'd have it. And in the past, of course I'd have it, but I didn't want to do the work. I just wanted to have it. And I also believed at one time that if I was abstinent, that somehow I was recovered, or recovering. Never got to recover, just recovering. And today I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for the fellowship that supports me. And I'm grateful that I know that God has steered me and that I've been steered in the right direction, that, you know, there is a profound change within me, and I know there will be more happiness as I trudge the road of happy destiny, as I'm following the directions as they have been precisely laid out in this book for me to follow. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Marietta P. from Virginia. Sylvia VG, it's time for your 3 minutes. And then Donna W., you get
good
ready.
Good morning.
You'll be ready in three. Hi, Sylvia.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be here. I'm calling in from beautiful Northern California. This word, willingness, you know, I was going to pull out the Concordia to see what it said about the definition of willingness. Sometimes for me, I just need to be willing to have willingness. If you just have that, you know, if you take a drop of blue ink in a gallon of water, you're going to tinge that water blue. If I take a drop of being willing to be willing to have willingness, that's what kicks us off and gets us moving into this program of surrender. And that's hard for me as an addict. I want to be in control. And as Bill W. said, is first we had to quit playing God. And playing God, even just thinking we have, you know, I was talking to a sponsee, influence over. To me, influence is just a spectrum of wanting to control. You know, I can influence my son about as much as I can influence a politician to do what I want him to do. Well, I probably could if I paid him enough. But that being said, I can't do anything in this program without being willing, and to be willing to surrender, to trust. And that's another thing that comes hard. Is to trust that this is the right thing, that nothing else has worked, that everything else I have tried has brought me to my knees, crying out to something, to some being or somebody that I need help. And once that surrender got through to me, that that's what I needed to do, that was the moment. However, there are moments where, as it says in the big books, you know, we're not always working this program perfectly, where I will take back some of that surrender and I have to go back to that willingness. So it's a constant cycle of being willing to have willingness to surrender. I mess up a little bit. I go back to that willingness. And I think, you know, that's where I am in this program. And I just thank God for this program.
Kind.
Thank you so much. I'm pass.
Thank you very much, Sylvia BG from Northern Cali. Next up is Donna W. for 3 minutes, followed by Aaliyah S.
Good morning, Mel. This is Donna W. calling in from Northern California as well. Grateful for my abstinence and my recovery for today. And for me, the word there is but a beginning. That's what jumps out for me. Because, you know, it's only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. And I have always believed in God. Yet when I came into this program, you know, it was really hard for me to rely on a higher power. And for me, that's been the big distinction is, you know, that belief in God and reliance on God. And you know, I'm really good at being the one that has to figure everything out and keeping my higher power at arm's length, even though I have a relationship with my higher power. So it's an ongoing challenge and opportunity for me to rely on my higher power. So, you know, the belief in God is but a beginning. And so to really recover, I need to rely, you know, admit utter defeat, and choose God, you know, either God is or God isn't. What is my choice to be? And you know, I've been, so I just moved out of my home for 20 years. I'm in transition before I can move into my new home. I've got a lot going on. I'm buying a house, I'm selling a house, and, you know, my addict wants to figure everything out and take charge, and I have to rely on God, and I've been telling God, hey, God, I'm dealing with some big stuff here. I need you to manage it, and, you know, every day I ask God to run today's show. I can't do that, so, you know, my question for myself today is, like, what if I don't have, there's nothing for me to figure out, you know? Oh, I get to relax and take it easy and not struggle. And just, like, you know, enjoy the day, be of service, trust God, clean house, carry the message. I don't know. It makes it all sound so simple. So that's where I'm at, is really leaning into my higher power. And when I'm having a hard time, I remembered recently through talking to a program friend that I can tell my higher power how pissed off I am. I don't have to. I can still use that as a reason to connect more with God, not to move away. So I'm just so grateful. I've got so much going on in my life right now. I'm so grateful I do have a higher power, because I would be, one, an insane person, and two, eating my brains out. So thankful to be here, and thankful that I know that I get to think about other people, make calls, and it's not just about me today. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Donna W. from Northern California. Before we have Aaliyah S. share this morning, I just want to let folks know we're going to have time for probably four more people to comment on paragraph 4, page 12 of the big book. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, be sure and press star 1 on your phone keypad to speak up, and we'll catch you. Aaliyah S., your turn from California.
Good morning. This is Aaliyah S., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you all for your service. This moment in time, this moment in history is my absolute favorite. This is my favorite part of the big book. I believe that this is the birth of Alcoholics Anonymous, because when I started to think about it, Ebby, you know, came to Bill to tell his testimony from the Oxford group, which was a Christian movement, and he begrudgingly went. I heard that he didn't want to go, but when Siva Graves and Roland Hazard, you know, had the judge, you know, come with him that day instead of be locked up in an insane asylum. They told him now, you know, after he worked the six tenets of the Oxford group, now it's time to go and share your testimony. And I heard, don't quote me on this, but I heard that he didn't want to go. And they said, well, we'll send you back to the judge and you can go to the insane asylum. He said, okay, I'll go. And so when he's standing there bright eyed and, you know, fresh skinned and had that starry eye look, where did that statement come from? You know, because it sure wasn't from the Oxford group. And so, you know, he had this intuitive voice, this divine wisdom deep down within when he said, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And from that moment, Bill was able to have, you know, what we're talking about here is that it was only a matter of being willing to believe. And what did he see in his friend? He saw freedom. He saw a complete change. He saw a wholesale miracle. And you know, it talks about this in We Agnostic that it has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built. And I looked up cornerstone, an important quality or feature on which a particular thing depends on or is based. So it's willing to believe. And I believe that's the birth of Alcoholics Anonymous in a power greater than myself. And that would be fine, you know, if I'm willing to believe, but how do I show this power that I'm willing? What actions do I take in the beginning? Because I believe that my higher power is infinite and can do all things, but it's not going to come down and take the bag of potato chips out of my hand. Like, I have to partner with this power and show this power. In the beginning, to get abstinent, I had to show this power that I was willing by putting down the food entirely, which I was terrified of. I couldn't imagine going a day without picking up my alcoholic foods or, you know, eating off my food plan. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. That's my time. And with that, I pass it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Aaliyah. Aaliyah S. from California. The lines are open for four more folks to share on that paragraph, paragraph four, page 12.
It's 30.
Janice
K. Hang on just one second. I heard Janice K is number three, but I heard, I thought somebody, Wendy, I think. Did I hear Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy V.
Wendy M.
Wendy V and then Wendy M. Did I hear you second, Wendy M, do you think? And then I heard Janice K for sure. And then I heard Darcy. So that should take us up. I'm sorry if I got things a little out of order here. We'll have to go with this one for now because of where my brain's at. So Wendy V, Wendy M, Janice K, and Darcy M. Hi, Wendy. You're up first. Wendy V and Victor.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Wendy V in California. And I feel, as I'm looking at this paragraph that we're in today and then going back a few paragraphs and then just looking at Bill's story, I see that there was a progression before he comes to God. Like, none of us, no matter what our moral or religious convictions were able to give ourselves to God or come up with a conception that would work to come back compulsive overeating until we were like just beat down by the disease. Nobody is here because we're like good servants of God. We're here because the disease beat us down. And I'm not here because I was capable of doing anything on my own. I've made an absolute, absolute mess of my life. There is nothing that I was able to do of myself. And coming to this paragraph, God just met me where I was at. God didn't have any requirements for me. Because if God had a requirement for me, I would have failed. If there was a checklist of things I needed to do before he entered into my life, I would have failed. I could not keep a list of good requirements to get to God. The only thing that's happened is I was seeking an answer, I was bottoming out, and I had no choices left. And for some reason, God met me exactly where I was at, and he meets me today. And I continuously find more areas where I bottom out, and he just keeps meeting me. And the more I struggle and the more I try to manage and control something, all of a sudden there's a day I can't take one more step forward with whatever it is I think I can control, and God meets me right there. But not because of anything good I'm doing. I'm not earning this. This is a free gift open to anybody. And all you have to do is be beaten up by a disease. Literally, you don't have to be anything, anything, just broken. And he enters into us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendy B. Next up is Wendy M. You're up next from Colorado for 3 minutes, and then Janice K. Star one, Wendy M.
Okay, that should work. Does that work?
Mm-hmm. Wendy M.
You can't. Okay. Can you hear me at all?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. No? You can't hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Apparently you can't hear us. So why don't you dial back in, and
okay,
then we'll catch you after Janice K.
Wait, is that better?
I can hear you all along. It's whether or not you can hear us. I've been hearing you all along.
Okay, sorry, Melanie. Yeah, good morning.
That's okay. Good morning.
Yeah, Wendy, recovering overeater. And the last share, I heard God loud and clear. So I woke up this morning with an emotional hangover. And, you know, absolutely, like, it would be like if I binged my brains out on food. I just binged my brains out on fear and control and managing and really fighting God, fighting myself, fighting my partner, fighting God. And I'm exhausted. Like, this is exactly where God wants me to be. It has to get so bad that I'm willing. That I'm willing to be willing to be willing. And the truth is, fighting God doesn't really work. In fact, like I said, I'm exhausted. And my head has just been in the disease. The food, you know, not as much, but somewhat, if I'm going to be honest. And so how do I get there? Why would I be willing? Well, because what I'm doing isn't working on so many levels. Hopefully it's bad enough. You know, I've been beaten down by the disease. I hope. I'll be honest. My 17-year-old kid was crying last night because he was so scared at how I was yelling at my partner. I had to hold my kid. He's like, Mom, you're not well. You're sick. It's like, is that going to take it? Am I willing this morning? Is my power, better than God's or greater than God's? No. It continues to not work. And God makes that so. It says in the step three, you know, when I'm running the show like this, when I'm thinking that my thinking makes sense, and that somebody else is always to blame, that's when, you know, God makes it so. It'll kill us. And it says God's going to make that so. So God's going to make this so bad that he can catch my attention so that I can look on page 12. Am I willing to believe in a power greater than myself? Am I willing to surrender to a power greater than myself? Am I willing to stop and close my mouth and listen and get on my knees and be willing that there is a power? Why wouldn't I plug into that power if it works? Why would I continue to plug into my power and continue to see that it doesn't work over and over and over again, right? And I'll be honest, I could use your prayers today. I'm Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. I could use your prayers. I'm struggling and I'm suffering. And thank you so much, Melanie, for your service. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Thank you so much. Okay, Janice K., you're up for 3 minutes, I believe, from Oregon. And then Darcy will follow you. star one real quick, like Janice.
Okay, here I am. Thank you so much for the reminder. Okay. Yesterday we stopped with I stood in the sunlight. So when you have lived your life in the shadows, when I stand in the sunlight, I know the difference. So I come back out and the next thing is, well, do you want to stay in the sunlight or are you going to go back in the shadow? Unfortunately, what I bring to the sunlight is a self that is only equipped to deal with the shadow. So I end up going back there. But at least having been in the sunlight, I know what I want. I am a person who grew up in program. Okay, I've been around for years and I've grown up in program. And so has my higher power. It's interesting how our concept of God doesn't change, but our concept does. It's interesting how once I experienced the sunlight, I could go back and look at the images of God I inherited from my family. And I could hunker down in the presence of the sunlight, which is an immensity that holds me. And I could peek out from that safety and I could look at the little cardboard cutouts that had been presented as God. And I could look at these and I could say, that one's mean. And the immensity would say, yes, I know. I've got you now. And I would look out and I would look at the next image of God and say, that one is full of judgment. And the immensity would wrap me and say, I've got you now. And I would look at the next one and say, that one was vindictive. And the immensity would say, you are mine now. So when I found the sunlight, I found a higher power who is willing to adapt to me. My higher power knows what I need, and my higher power is willing to supply that. I started with an idea of what God was like. And then I began to add and subtract as experience indicated. I don't have a higher power that will take potato chips out of my hands, but I do have one who, if I am tightly connected, will help me not see the bag on the counter. And I can walk by it. And I'm very grateful. Thank you for listening, I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. Darcy, I'm so sorry. I misjudged the time. It is completely my fault. I won't have time to be able to call you up to speak for 3 minutes on this particular paragraph. I feel bad about that. I certainly am very, very sorry for that oversight. But I would like to let folks know that we are a recorded part of our session and moving on to the last 10 minutes of our unrecorded part of our session. So please do not leave the meeting. We have so much more to go here today. And I'm going to have Robin P. read from page 164 and close out this portion, and then we'll jump right into saying the Serenity Prayer as we move forward. So good morning, Robin P. Our book is meant
good
to
morning.
Be suggestive only, right?
Yes. Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.